And he has to stand up to all their contradictions.
One said one and another said another. And because his love was so all-embracing, he embraced all those contradictions. And in doing that, he suffered. I have a wife, I love her very much. Every minute she contradicts me. I suffer for it. But still I embrace her. Why? Because my love overpowers her contradiction. So contradictions has no place, no argument here. Even the greatest logician of the world comes and tells us that this is Meher Baba said this and he said again that. I said because of that is Meher Baba. Contradictions have got to be there. You shouldn't get blighted or be afraid of contradiction. You shouldn't get startled by it. You shouldn't get scared by contradiction. Otherwise there is no way. You stick to your own dry logic and be there all the time. And then they say it is out of our logic, our science, our physical science, that everything is been made so convenient for human beings, for their happiness. Too true. Science has made lot, gives us a lot of such facilities in a physical way. And we call ourselves very cultured men at all. But what about the moral side? What about the spiritual side? Man has remained the same barbarous fellow that he was 2000 years ago. He fought with bows and arrows with swords. Then came the gunpowder and now is coming the atom bomb. What difference has it made? A man, you see, comes out to take the life of another man. In the same way, the primitive way that he was doing, a man was able to kill one man or 10 people. Now your atom bomb can kill millions of people at one in the same time. So where has this science taken us? One fellow asked me once a question in 1970 when I went to the USA. He said, Baba denounces all our science. I said, it's absolutely untrue. Baba does not denounce anything. Baba, in one of his messages, has said that I have come here to displace nothing. I have not come to displace anything. See, everything is in its own good place. But I have come to give you an enlightenment. I have not come to displace anything, neither have I come to destroy this illusion. This illusion is a beautiful illusion. But I want only to enlighten you with the fact that this is illusion and not reality. This is reality. There is no question of destroying. Whereas science is destroying one another all the time. What has it done so far? It is all. So Baba says, by all means, make good use of the science. Science is not to be hated or to be abhorred. It should be embraced. But not for destructive purposes. Then, if the science has not developed the higher, the lighter side of man, his morals and his love of God, where are we going? Then how is the great poet, the great God realized, man of Iran had said, where the hell I was, where have I come and where am I going, I do not know. Science does not show you that at all, what you are, where you are, where you are going. He does show you where the Boeing plane is going. He shows you many, many things. But he does not show you what you are. That means science is skin deep. It does not enter the life of a man. It does not go deep down into your being. He does not touch your heart at all. It only touches your head. And this head is the most mischievous thing in the world. All the mischief of the world emanates from this blockhead. If it is tempered with your heart, balanced with your heart, then the joy of life is there. But man all the time follows the pleasures of life and misses the joy of life. Both can't go together. At least spirituality cannot stand this contradiction. It stands every other contradiction, but it doesn't stand this contradiction in the sense that if you want the pleasure and the joy, you can't get both out of it. You have to sacrifice your pleasure to gain the joy. When you go after the pleasure, you miss the joy. You can't get both at one and the same time. Any other question? What a wonderful thing you said, sir. That is exactly what it is meant for. That is exactly what it is meant for, that love, for the suffering. Suffering burns your desires. Suffering burns the accumulation of all the impressions and the samskaras which prevent you from seeing the light of God. And they cannot be best eradicated excepting through suffering.
What kind of suffering?
What suffering Meher Baba gives when you dedicate yourself to him? It may be any kind. It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be emotional, it may be anything. Suffering in any form or shape. Not suffering self-created. That is unpurposeful suffering. Suffering that you create for yourself has got no end or aim at all. It's a life on a drift. Suffering given to you by Meher Baba, he only gives you suffering if you are fully dedicated to him. Then all the suffering that he gives is a blessing in disguise. You should not mind it for the love of him. Just as the mother does not mind any suffering for the sake of the child. For the sake of one whom he or she loves most in life. So that is suffering. And that suffering assumes a joyful form. When you do it for the one whom you love, if you do it for your beloved, and you get so used to it, mushkil itni aan padi ke mushkil aasan ho gayi. I have been confronted with so many difficulties, so much suffering has fallen upon me that I got used to it, and there remained no more suffering for me. Any question? Your face looks like wanting to put a question.
Do you ever get... Bal was talking about one day, he saw a picture of Baba, and for a moment he just started him because he thought Baba was there. Do you ever get moments during the day where you feel Baba's presence more than other moments? Or you turn around and expecting to see
Baba? No, sir, I do not feel anything of that sort at all. Because once a man came to my office and asked me a question. He says, sir, you are all the time doing work in your office, and do you ever think of Baba? How do you justify your love for Baba? I said, look here, sir. In every work that I do, any thought that I think, I somehow feel that Baba is there all the time. Now, you want me to sit aside and think about Baba? It would be, and start loving Baba, it would be something like me. When I feel Baba in my heart all the time, you want me to extract Meher Baba out of my heart and throw him at a distance and then go on remembering him all the time? These are the different vagaries of experiences of different people. And it doesn't mean that what experience one gets, other must get. Mm. You see, we are all different. We are all so much different. In our physical appearances, physical makeup, in our mental makeup, in our samskaric makeup, in our propensities, we differ. In every way we differ. It's a life of diversity, as I said. And love is the only unifying factor. Just as I said, love is the reflection of the unity of God into the life of diversity. So Baba never expects everybody in his love to become uniform. You have to maintain all your differences what they are. But in a brotherly way, having that feeling at the background, having that love, common love for Meher Baba, then everything becomes easy. The most practical way. Spirituality has been brought down to the broad daylight of our present life by Meher Baba. Nobody else has done. Spirituality has been made to feel on the seventh sky, on the seventh heaven, all the time. And certain persons only privileged to keep and nurture that spirituality, look upon themselves to be very proud all the time. Meher Baba says, no, spirituality is the common property of everyone in the world. And that is why a question was asked to me, show me a single person whom Meher Baba has given God realization. I said, why should my Meher Baba give God realization even to a single man, Mandali member? Meher Baba spirituality stands for the whole world.
Mahayana spirituality is based on utmost democratic principles. It is to be distributed to the whole world. And supposing he has given God realization to anybody, where is the criteria to judge? Where is the stick to measure it? It is not possible at all. So let us not try to deliberate over to whom Meher Baba has given God realization, but let us try to put all our efforts into making ourselves deserving to receive His blessings. Everybody, what he does, he desires, and doesn't want to think whether he is deserving. A man steps into the college campus, takes hold of the professor, "Sir, give me a graduation degree immediately." The professor laughs at him. Man comes to Meher Baba and says, "Please let me know who you are, what you are." Meher Baba says, "There is a man." The professor says, "He is a man." He says, "You can't get such a degree at all. You have to come there, spend your time, your money, your blood, your everything over it, study the subject, appear for the examination, pass out, and then you will get the degree. Why try to put card before the horse? So you can't get anything out of Meher Baba if you try to put such a person. The man wants to have anything. He wants this and he wants that. But he doesn't want to exert for it at all. He wants everything ready-made. Just as say, Baba, God is a pill. Give me a pill as a doctor gives a pill and I will get God realized. Yes, Baba can give you a pill. And it will be a very funny God realization. That the moment after he takes this pill, he will start getting a blood diarrhea. So, nothing can be had out of nothing. One has to exert for it. And in the case of Baba, we stand at a great advantage for the mere fact that we have to prepare ourselves. Meher Baba says, "You are not to achieve everything, you have got everything within you. But you have to open up." And to open up that, we have to go through all sorts of disciplines, as he says, yes. Even to an extent of coercion out of love, yes. But not mechanical coercion. There is such a thing that even mechanical repetition of an act collects certain power. But that's a very low type of power. Mere repetition, without the least intention or a motive attached to the repetition, you can get power. But that power is very low power. That power is most physical power. Suppose one goes on saying one thing, another goes on saying another thing, third goes on saying the same thing. You see, this collective repetition of a certain thing accumulates certain physical power. But what is that power in the scheme of whole creation? It is not even scheme deep. So we have to try to achieve something which is always lasting, which is most important, and which will really make us know who you really are. Who I am. This is what Baba is saying. We must aspire for the highest and make way home quickest. So shall we say goodbye for today? Jai Baba.
Thank you.
Okay. So this incident took place in 1968, when Baba was in seclusion. He would come in the Mandali hall, work there for 3 hours, and we would keep watch outside his room. Nobody was allowed to make any noise. Even the birds, you know, they were not allowed to make noise. Baba was so careful. He had given that order that we should see that there should not be slightest noise. He was working in the hall, you know. And after that, of course, there was ban on correspondence. No one was allowed, permitted to write letters to Baba. But when he would be working in seclusion, you know, his lovers, they would go from place to place, give out his messages, and newcomers would come in contact. And they would write letters to Baba. So I was a night watchman as well as I was corresponding. So it so happened that after his seclusion work, you know, though there was ban on correspondence, Baba would ask us to read out those letters which we would receive. But it so happened that I did not get any opportunity to read out those letters to Baba which I had received. For a week I did not read, because Baba was engaged in some other work too. On 8th day, after his seclusion work, we were sitting there and I had bundle of letters. He looked at me and he said, "Today I've got headache." You replied, and I don't know how, a thought came rushing in my mind. But what sort of God he is? His lovers are really great. They don't want anything spiritual or material from him. They just want his darshan, because those letters which I had received, you know, they did not want anything, only they wanted his darshan. And if it was not possible, they wanted a few loving words directly from her. So he says, "You reply." So thought came in my mind, what sort of God he is? I did not say anything, and he did not ask. After that, you know, he retired in his room, and I followed, because I was night watching. So he said, "How many letters did you write today?" I said, "Not a single letter." "Why?" He said, "Where was the time? I was with you there in the Mandali hall. When you retired, I followed you. Where was the time?" He said, "Yes, there was no time. But what were you thinking?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Tell me the truth." So I narrated the whole thing, that when you asked me, you replied, a thought came in my mind, that what sort of God you are. Your lovers are really great. They don't want anything material or spiritual from you. They just want your darshan. So you say, "No." Then they just expect a few loving words from you directly. So you say, you reply. Baba heard, and he said, that yes, my lovers are really great, but you are with me since so many years and you don't understand. If they come and see me, what they will see? This physical form, what is there? This is the real thing. He would make this time for his seclusion work. So this is the real thing. I am giving them, and you will witness with your own eyes what will happen to them who have not seen me. So, of course, I heard at the time and I have no idea. But now I realize that, of course, he has given each one the real thing, and that's why, you know, so many come at his door. So he said that if they come and see me, what they will see, this physical form, this is the real thing. So, you know, those who did not see him physically, but they were all the time with him because he was working for them, and it is because of his work you all are coming to him. He has worked for them. So you were there at that time. In a way, you know, avatar, you know, everything animate and inanimate, all the time is with him. But you know, when he would work, some special work would be there, he would work for the selected ones, you know. Are the selected ones whom he wanted to give. Otherwise, in general way, his work goes on just like for breathing, you know, it goes on. So also his work goes on. But when he would do some special work, of course he would give something, and he has given. That's why you are all coming. He has collected the grass of the whole universe. The grass, you know, it is a big heap, very big heap. And the sun is covered by that heap. And the grass, the heap, the grass is wet. And he has put fire beneath the grass. Now, what happens? That because of that fire, the portion which is near the fire, the smoke is coming out because it is wet. But at the same time, it dries up. As soon as it dries up, it burns. And that portion which is near the fire comes to him. The next portion, and the smoke is coming out. That's why you find the chaos in the world, everywhere. This is nothing but the smoke of the grass, means the impressions he has collected. Now, one portion after another portion will come to him. And time will come when the whole heap will be burnt. As soon as the heap will be burnt, the world will witness the sun, because the sun is covered. But that portion which is near the fire, and that portion which comes to him, you know, that person does not see the sun. but he still believes that there is sun. So this belief is something greater. When you will witness the sun, see the sun, you know, and you will say, yes, there is sun. What is there? Nothing, because you see that there is sun. But when you don't see the sun, and you still believe that there is sun, this belief is something greater. That's why those who are coming to Baba, they are really very fortunate. And it is because of his work they are coming. He has worked for each one. He has given the share to each one. And because of that, there is no other goal but to come to his store. No other. Even if you don't want, you have to come. Because it is destined. This story or any other story?
You know other stories?
There was severe drought failing, you know, in one of the states of India, in Bihar. And many people were starving and dying. And every day, you know, I would read in newspaper that so many are starving. Very bad plight for them. And then I read that one of the capitalists of India, he opened many kitchens there and he would provide free food. So I read in newspaper and I was so happy, you know. I thought that he's really a good man. Because, you know, he's helping so many. He's utilizing his capital for a good cause. He's really good. And God has given him wealth because he's so generous. That's why God has given him so much wealth. That thought came in my mind. Of course, I forgot about it. But sometimes it would so happen, you know, when I would have something in my mind and I would forget, and then I would go to Baba, you know, in the night. Something which, you know, even years ago, if it took place, you know, a thought came, a thought about those things which would come. I don't know why. So I was placing his feet, and that thought came rushing in my mind, that he's really doing selfless service. So many were starving and he's providing free food. He was doing really selfless service. I was very happy, you know, that thought came in my mind. And Baba got up and he said, what are you thinking? I said, nothing, Baba. And he was telling him, I said, I was just thinking about the famine in Bihar. So many were starving, it is good that capitalist, you know, is providing free kitchens and supplying free food. So he's saving so many lives. He's really doing selfless service. And he was saying, selfless service? He's doing most selfish service. Whatever he's doing, you know, he's not free from that. He is bound by that. Why he is doing good work? Baba said, yes, he is doing good work, but he is bound by that work. It is not selfless service. It is the most selfish service. Do you know why he is doing this? Baba said, he is doing for the sake of name and fame. He wants name. He wants that people should know about him. He should become popular. And at the same time, why he is doing? So that the government may know that he is doing so much charity. And what he would do, that he would just adjust the accounting in a way, you know, if he would spend, say, about 100,000 rupees, he would show that he spent 100,000 rupees for them. So he would be, the tax would not be there, you know, he would save the money. So with that intention, he is doing, and though it is a good work, but because his motive is not good, you know, he is doing for name and fame at the same time to save the tax. So he is bound by that. It is not selfless services. It is the most selfish service he is doing. And he said, and here you are. And then Baba said, here you are serving me. Of course, you are serving me out of love. So your service is quite different, you know. and you are serving me, and in me the whole universe is there. So you are serving the whole universe through me. That man, even if it is most selfless, and if he wants to serve the whole universe, he can't. He can't serve. Because it is impossible to serve the whole universe. He can serve a few people, you know, but not the whole universe. So even if he becomes most selfless, he cannot serve the whole universe, but you serve the whole universe through me. And this is the selfless service.
You know,
one day I asked someone in the Hari Baba, say, yes, I've got him. So, you see, there are more than one. So, yeah. And then I hear him, but when you have a change out of this container, you have a job, because the hair is blue. Tiny piece of hair, and then once it's on the floor, you'll find it. That's right.
So,
Because it's very simple, it's not natural humans, it's not human nature to want anything very simple. You know, we like change. That's why we make religion into what it is. Because the very simple things are very difficult. Surrender is a simple thing, but it's the most difficult to really do. So one likes, you know, in the Indians, when you offer a coconut at the feet of God, or the perfect master, God, man, or then it really, the coconut represents the mind. So it is a symbolic thing. It's almost impossible to offer your mind. So here it is, represents the mind. That's how these things are coming to being. The flowers are fresh and fresh, and that represents love. Here's the one who can do the best. And I still remember just before Baba's accident, I had a dream. It was so vivid that for the first time, when I cried in my dream, when I woke up, I found my pillow was all wet. And the dream was that I was with Babajan in Pune. The name was there. Everything was perfect, as I'd always known it, because my mother and I would visit Babajan very, very often. Not very far from her house. So here it was that she was sitting in the same old place. Then her seating place was like this. And it was a brass railing around her seat, which I as a child used to call the cradle. Babajan the cradle. So here I was, and Babajan was squatting on the floor, and she had this old red sheet. And she was putting all her things in it, and she was tying it all up into a big bundle. And I knew she was going. This was after she dropped her body. And I said, Oh, Babajan, please, please, don't leave. What would Pune be like without you? And I was crying. And she said, but where are you going? She said, well, I'm closing up shop. I'm leaving. How do you say when you shut up shop? And I said, oh, don't do that. Oh, please, don't leave. She said, what can I do? There is nobody who can buy my goods. Nobody who can pay the price. Nobody can buy my goods. So I have to go. And I was crying. And I was crying. I said, oh, Baba, yeah. She said, it's so beautiful there. And when I woke up, she watched this. And the pillow was all wet. First and last time in my life that I actually had.